following Evanston Avenue. I'm Keith.
I'm Tina.
What you doing?
Thinking about family traditions.
Oh?
Our grandparents would send us a Disney movie, and we'd open it on Christmas Eve, and we'd watch it.
Oh, okay. I have one, too. On Christmas Eve, everybody would go over to my grandparents, and we'd order Scribb's Pizza and open presents together. But we also got onion rings. You can't forget the onion rings. Speaking of traditions, we do have another one to share with you. This one. Merry Christmas. On this Christmas Eve day, we want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue.
We're glad you're here with us, and while our ushers are coming down to collect the offerings, we have a few things to share with you.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been here for ages, there's always a place for you here at Evanston.
That's right, and Daniel is here to let you know how you can get connected.
You know, the holidays are a great time to get connected with old friends and meet some new ones. Hi. My name is Daniel, and I wanted to let you know some next steps to get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. For starters, if you have kids 5th grade and below, we have a great program for them, Sunday nights at 6. Mr. Darren and his friends would love to see you at Bible Times Club downstairs in the Fellowship Hall. The kids have games, activities, and Bible studies geared just for them. For kids and teens 5th through 12th grade, you're going to want to check out Hype. We meet Sunday nights at 6 upstairs in the Hype Room. The teens get together for games, worship, and some really cool adventures with Joy and her team. For adults, we have the monthly fellowship dinners and weekly Bible studies. You'll want to check out the bulletin or the website for times and locations. Finally, if you would like to get connected with a life group, we'll be launching some new life groups starting in January. If you're interested, then talk to Pastor Matt, Jonathan, or Jeremy. So no matter where you are at in your journey, we have a next step connection for you here at Evanston Avenue.
You know, Keith, I was looking at the bulletin, and there's some pretty important information in here.
Oh, I know. And when I want to know what's going on at the church, I always look at that bulletin. And when I want to get in touch with the church, I use that handy connection card.
That's right. I use that card all the time to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone to contact me.
Well, that's perfect. Why don't you fill the one out in the bulletin there and leave it on the pew when you're done? You guys can do the same thing out there. Or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's not all. The website is full of helpful information and resources.
We do post some pretty interesting articles and links there a couple times a week, so you're definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things we would like to share with you.
Don't forget, we have a Christmas Eve service tonight at 6. Come back this evening for a time of fellowship as we remember the birth of our Lord.
Also, next week is Family Worship Sunday with our very own Jeremy Francis bringing us God's Word.
I hope that doesn't scare people away. Well, we have 2 youth retreats coming up in January. From January 12th through the 14th is Frostbite for the junior high students.
And the senior high students, we have Fire and Ice January 26th through 28th. If you are interested, please talk to Joy for more information.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt finishing our series, The Arrival, with his sermon, Christ is Born.
Here's Pastor Matt.
You know, while it's nice to reminisce about our separate family traditions, it's going to be exciting to start our own.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll forgive me. We're going to hit pause on the sermon that they just announced. That will actually be happening tonight during our Christmas Eve service. We'll be breaking out our candles. We'll be doing a candlelight service. 6 o'clock. Hope you guys can make it. This morning is going to be a ton of fun. We're going to see the kids being kids, and it's awesome. It's great. But tonight is really just going to be a time where if I could kind of cast an image for you guys to put on for tonight, it would be kind of imagine coming into your favorite parent or grandparent's front room with gathering around the piano and just kind of singing and celebrating and remembering the story of Christmas in a very just quiet and enjoyable way. So it'd just be a great opportunity for us just to kind of take a break from all the craziness of Christmas meals and wrapping and unwrapping and watching the kids play with the box instead of the toy. Anyone else? And all of that fun stuff. And just to really gather and really just center ourselves around what this season is really all about. It is for Christ and to celebrate his birth. So it'll be a very great way to do that tonight at 6 o'clock. One other piece of announcement while the ushers are coming forward. We're going to pray for our offering and let the kids do their thing. For those of you that are members and regular attenders here at Evanston Avenue, we do have, I know this is what you've been waiting for all year. You're ready for this? The offering envelopes for next year are here. Thank you. Thank you very much. They're in your mailbox, and if you don't see them in your mailbox, talk to Steve and Cheryl and get you hooked up for the 2018 offering, limited edition offering envelopes. It makes it sound more exciting that way. Certainly. Let me pray. Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, as you have blessed us with all that we have, you've blessed us with the breath in our lungs, with the families we have, with the opportunity to gather and to celebrate. And so, Father, as we return a very small portion of what you've given to us, Lord, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it was given. Father, we ask that our offerings be used to expand your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, now we thank you so much for our children. We thank you for their willingness to celebrate the birth of your son. So, Lord, we just want to celebrate them as they celebrate you. So, Lord, we just thank you for them. And, Father, too, as we open up the word in just a little while, we just ask for a blessing on that time as well. But, Father, in the meantime, we just thank you for the ultimate gift of your son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, young.
Sunglasses, get your sunglasses right here.
We've got shades and spades, spectacular spectacles, terrific trifocals.
Terrific trifocals?
Look, I'm trying, okay? This town is full of people, but no one's shopping here.
I told Dad not to open a sunglasses stand. Falafel House, that's where the real money is.
I've never seen this city so busy. Where are Mom and Dad anyway?
To register for the census. Whatever that is.
Mom keeps saying that one day Dad will come to his senses. Maybe she dragged him off to find him whether he liked it or not.
Well, I'm going to work on one of my favorite senses. Taste. I'm heading off to Lamb and Shake to get a kebab. See you later.
You can't go. Mom and Dad said not to go anywhere until they get back.
Who leaves kids alone to run a booth anyway? Pretty irresponsible if you ask me.
Well, no one did ask you. Just help me sell something. Hey, are you guys here to help with the census? Who are you?
They must work for the government. Look, we don't even know what a census is. Can you tell us?
So you want to know all about the census? Well, it has to do with Caesar's expenses. We'd like to say different, but the fact is, Caesar just wants to get his taxes. Before he can know how much to charge, he has to know if your town is small or large. So we sent a decree throughout the land, and we are here to lend a helping hand. Do we cheat him and how? Do we cheat him and how? Your helpful census takers, your bank account breakers, do we cheat them and how? You must travel to the place of your birth so we can know how much your town is worth. And once we assess the situation, we start making our computations. Caesar tells us what he wants from us, and we pay him without any fuss. But we're aware that there are extra profits, and with those we gladly line our pockets. Do we cheat them and how? Do we cheat them and how? We render unto Caesar your shekels if you please, sir. Do we cheat them and how? Do we cheat them and how? Do we cheat them and how? We're your helpful census takers, your bank account breakers. Do we cheat them, fiscally mistreat them? Do we cheat them and how?
Oh, so a census is just a way to count people. I wonder if that's why there's so many people in town. Those are the best bean counters I've ever seen.
Oh, speaking of beans, I'm still hungry. Let's go get something to eat.
Those nice census takers from Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe showed me how to work this thing. And if my calculations are correct, we are broke.
Yep. The sun's going down now, so nobody needs sunglasses. We're ruined!
Wait. We should be thinking about what these people will need.
Sunglasses.
No.
Ooh, sunscreen.
No.
I know. Lots of bathrooms.
No, well, maybe, yes, but no.
I got it! Sunglasses!
Ray, focus! These people are going to need a place to stay.
I was just about to say that. Hey, did you see that star over there?
Uh-huh. Help me adjust this sign.
Question. Who's going to want to sleep on the floor of our booth?
That's a good question, but maybe once all the other places fill up, people won't mind sleeping on the floor of our booth.
Hey, what about those two? That lady's ready to pop. I mean, very, very pregnant.
Uh-oh. Looks like we're not the only ones going into the innkeeper business.
In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. We're out of room at the inn. We're out of room at the inn. The people keep on coming, and we are busy running. Out of room at the inn. Out, in, out. We're out of room at the inn. We're out of room at the inn. The town is on a bustle. It's the Bethlehem hustle. Out of room at the inn. Out, in, out. I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do. We don't have a single room. You're such a nice couple, but we're out of room at the inn. Out, in, out. There's no room at our table. Perhaps try a stable. We're out of room at the inn. Out, in, out. Out of room at the inn. Out, in, out. Out of room at the inn. Out, in, out. In, out. In.
Where did that couple disappear to?
I don't know. They look kind of desperate. I hope they find a place to stay, even if it isn't ours. But a more important question is, if the sun is setting over there, then what is that incredibly bright star over there?
Yeah, I noticed it earlier. It's a double sun, like that double rainbow I saw earlier this summer. You remember how amazing that was? Totally blew my mind, man.
I don't know, but I do know it's beautiful, and I think it's getting brighter. I wonder what it could be. Ray, is it just me, or is that thing getting brighter?
It sure is, and we're going to make a mint! Sunglasses! Get your sunglasses right here! Protect yourself from the mystery light with our special sunglasses! Only 2 denarii! Or a special deal of 2 pairs for, 2 pairs for 10 denarii.
What's this? Lost, King of the Jews, the star has led us here to Bethlehem. We wish to worship the newborn king. If found, please contact the star trackers on a hillside near you.
Star Trek? Why does that sound familiar? Anyway, King, newborn, the star led them here?
Do you think that bright star is related to this?
I wonder if there's a reward. Kings are rich, right? Palaces! Gold! All the lamb burgers you can eat!
Your stomach should be designated the eighth wonder of the world.
Why, thank you.
Hey, I'll bet those are the star trackers from the flyer. Excuse me, did you leave these flyers lying around?
What's all this star stuff about?
What is it, Ray? What do you see?
You won't believe it. Hummus Hut is still open. Do you think we could...
I don't know if it's important to your search at all, but there's a really bright star over there, and it keeps getting brighter and brighter. Who knew that a star could say so much? But that still doesn't tell us who this king is and what it means to all of this. What does any of this mean?
I can't take this anymore. I gotta find out what's going on over there.
I'm so confused. First, there's the census, so many people come into town to be counted. Then we saw that mysterious and hugely pregnant couple looking for a room, but then they disappeared over that way, and now there's this brilliant light shining from that direction, even though it's night. And finally, the star trackers come because the star guided them here. What is this important thing happening? What is going on? Whoa. Are you angels?
Vanessa! Vanessa! You're not gonna believe what I just saw. Are those...
Yes!
What are they doing here?
I have no idea.
Did they bring sandwiches?
Please, tell me, what does all of this mean?
Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped in snugly strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
Vanessa, I think I just saw that baby. The light seemed to be pointing to him, as though he was the most important thing in the world.
Heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.
Thank you for sharing this baby king with us. I'm not sure what all of this means, but I do know that that baby is the most important person to ever be born, and I'm so happy we could be here for it.
What about our sunglasses booth?
Oh, I'm not worried. After everything we've seen tonight, it's clear that the future is so bright, we'll have to wear shades.
Right.
Well, thank you, guys. Did they do a good job? Let's give them a hand. Thank you very much. All right. The one downside of having a set on stage is my Bible isn't where I normally put it. All right. Hi. Oh, yeah, you're good. Thanks, guys. Well, my friends, with the few minutes that we have, you know, whenever we gather, we always want to spend time and we want to be in God's Word. And so I would just invite you, I don't have any slides this morning, so I would just invite you, if you want to grab a Bible, if you have a Bible with you, please feel free to open it. If you have a Bible on your phone, by all means. If you want to grab a Bible from the pew in front of you, there should be some the pews in front. If you don't have a Bible at home, by the way, it's our Christmas gift to you. Feel free to take one with you. But I want to invite you to join me in the book of Matthew. Now, the book of Matthew is the first part of the New Testament, and it's one of my favorite books, mainly because of the name. And I would just invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 2. We heard our young friends this morning talk about Matthew chapter 2 just a little bit, because there was, whenever Jesus was born, there was a tremendous astronomical event. There was a bright, shining star. And it took a couple years. A lot of times our manger scenes, just so you know, we usually have the shepherds and the wise men visiting Jesus at the stable. That's a very cute image. Don't get me wrong. My nativity scenes have that too. But in reality, Jesus probably would have been a young toddler, probably 1.5 to 2 years old. And all of a sudden, as they were living in Bethlehem, we read these words. This is Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And he called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. And he asked them, where is the Christ to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house where they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. And my friends, this morning, I just want to draw for just a couple of minutes, you know, probably three important truths for us today as we read these stories. In our tradition, we don't often think about this. We don't have what they had in Jesus' day, so we miss it sometimes. But the first truth that I want us to grab a hold of this morning as we think about the birth of Christ is this. Jesus was born as a king. And we don't think about that because we elect our officials and we live with them for 4 to 8 years depending on how much we like or don't like them. But in Jesus' day, everyone was a king. And we miss this because in a monarchy, a king's rule is absolute. And a king was to be celebrated. And when we read about the Magi, when they showed up to worship him, they weren't worshiping him because they thought he was a god. But that's what you did to a king. And so we can resonate with this. We can celebrate the fact that Jesus is the King of Kings. And we should bow down to him and we should celebrate him. But my friend, that's cool for us. We like that. But my friends, I want us to remember something else about a king. Because in our society, we have this amazing thing called choice. We can choose to serve in the army We can choose to disobey if we wish. But in a monarchy, here's the thing. When someone is a king, you didn't have a choice. What the king said was law. And you did what the king says. The king held absolute power in his kingdom. And so, my friends, what I want us to understand this morning is that when Jesus was born, yes, he is our Savior. Yes, he is God himself. But he is also Jesus Christ, the King. And he deserves to be worshipped. And he deserves to be obeyed because he is the King of Kings. And part of what I love about Jesus is instead of showing up in splendor and in mightiness and demanding our obedience, he was born very differently. He was born, although he is the king and although he should be celebrated and obeyed, he was born humbly, in poverty. And he invites us to follow him instead of demanding that we follow him. But my friends, for us as Christians, as people who call on the name of the Lord, if we are calling on the name of Jesus, we like the idea of him being our Savior because it means we get out of hell. Yay! More importantly, we get to go to heaven. Yay! But Jesus Christ is also our King, which means that we have chosen to follow and obey him. That we don't always like that second part. And actually, as you go through the story, part of what you see is you see that King Herod, when he gets the news, when these foreign dignitaries show up, they're looking for a king. So they go to the place where kings are. They go to the palace. Where else would a king be? You can just imagine knocking on the door. Hey, we're here to celebrate the new king. And the current king doesn't know about the new king. That's a wee bit of a problem. And it says it so mildly in our text. It says that when King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. That's an understatement. King Herod was an evil man. He was a wicked man who had the habit of executing his own children to prevent them from taking over. He was a brutal ruler. And what's more, just so we know this, he was not an Israelite. He was not a Jew. He was from the land called Edom. E-D-O-M. Just, you know, freaks out on that one. He was an Edomite. And if you go to Jerusalem, even today, there's a place called the Herodian, which is this, it looks like just a giant hill with the top chopped off of it. It looks like kind of a mountain that's been flattened out on top. But here's the thing. It's not a mountain. He built it. He literally built a mountain and put his temple, his palace on top of this. In part so we can get nice cool breezes blowing off the Mediterranean, kind of natural air conditioning. But in part so that he could see if there was a rebellion brewing. In order to overthrow King Herod, you had to make it all the way up the temple. All the way up the palace mountain to get to him. And he was so paranoid about losing power that he had constructed a series of escape routes and escape strongholds. Just so that if he ever got overthrown, he could literally escape from Jerusalem and hole up on a mountain and live there for a year with the provisions he had stocked. He was so worried about being overthrown. So he's a brutal guy, he's paranoid, and he doesn't deserve to be there, and he knows it. Rome put him in power. And so all of a sudden, here comes a bunch of guys, you know, where's the new king? He freaked out. And everyone who heard about it freaked out too, because, man, he's going to go off. And I love hearing that part, because here's the thing, my friends. For us, you know, obviously we're living several thousand years later. But there are people around us, and even myself, if I'm really honest, I don't always like the idea of someone else being the king over my life. If I'm real honest, you see, because if Jesus shows up and if Jesus is the king, that means that he is a threat to anyone else who is trying to hold power. He was a threat to Herod because Herod was not thinking of eternity. He wasn't thinking of sin and heaven and hell. He was thinking about his throne and power and losing power. And the same thing is true for me, and the same thing is true for us, because Jesus comes along and he says, I'm the king, and I want to be the king of your life. Jesus comes along and he says, I want to be in charge of you and me. And my friends, that's a threat to me because I like being in charge of my own life. I like being the captain of my fate and the master of my soul, as the old poem would say. Dear Christians, we're not qualified. I like it. I like to have my own say, and I love to do what is right in my own eyes. And all of us, if we're really honest, we love to do what is right in our own eyes. And Jesus comes along and he says, no, 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 I'm the king. And I want to have the final say in your world. So sometimes, my friends, when we see people around us fighting back against Jesus and trying to reject him and throw him off, sometimes at the very deep root of that is the reality of, I don't want to surrender control of my life. Just like Herod didn't want to surrender control of his throne to another king, we don't always want to surrender the control of our lives to another ruler. So it's easy to push Jesus away and say, I got this, Lord. I got this. P.S. When I say that to Jesus, that's usually when I manage to train wreck my life into a wall somewhere. Anyone else have that experience? I got this, Lord. There it is. Jesus comes to us as the humble king, inviting us to allow him to rule in our lives. And I know that's huge for us because we have to trust that he is real. We have to trust that he is good, and we have to trust that he is powerful. And that's a lot of trust for somebody who is alive today, but I can't see him. That's a big amount of trust. But yet, my friends, as I stand before you and I say that, yes, he is real, and yes, he is alive, and yes, he is good, and yes, he is powerful, and yes, he is the king of my life. Because I have the opportunity, like the Magi, to worship him, to bow before him. And I love that in Jesus' birth, the people who should have been the most excited, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the king, all of those people, all of the Jewish leadership, they should have been rejoicing, saying, yes, finally it's happened. They were the ones saying, let's kill him. Because that was Herod's response. There's a new king. How old should he be? 2 years old. Find every boy 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and wipe them out. You know what? That isn't even... This is how bad Herod is. That doesn't even make the history books. That wasn't Herod's worst atrocity. Not even close. So the people who should have worshipped and celebrated Jesus were the ones that were trying to get rid of him. And what I love is the Magi. They were pagan sorcerers. They were not followers of God. They had been told hundreds of years before that when the star arises, there's going to be a king that you should go and worship. And so they showed up to do that. And so I love that the people who were paying honor and bringing royal gifts of gold and incense and myrrh, they weren't even followers of God. And yet here they come and they see this child, Jesus, and their response is to bow their knee before him and worship. Because, my friends, Jesus is not just the king of the Jews. He is the king of kings, the king of the whole world. And we have this amazing prophecy that says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Not just in Israel, but all people, all places. And it started even at his birth with a bunch of blue-collar, redneck shepherds showing up. Saying, let's check this out. And a bunch of pagan sorcerers coming to bow before the king. They were the ones who gave glory and adoration to my Jesus. All of us have the call to bow our knees before the king and invite him to be the ruler of our lives, the savior of our souls. And that's why he came. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we love you. we praise you. We thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the humble birth of the King into this world. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity now to bow our knees to the King of Kings, to accept him as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, we just want to live our lives for him. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice who doesn't know that yet, Father, we just ask your Holy Spirit to very gently do his work. But Father, in the meantime, as we gather, as we celebrate, as we open gifts, as we eat great food and enjoy family and friends and all the wonderful things that happen at this time of year, Father, just continue to root deep in our lives the reality of Jesus Christ, the King of the Kings, born in a stable many thousands of years ago. May we bow our knees to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Band, do you guys have enough room? You're okay. We will make this work, my friends. Thank you very much for being flexible with us. If you need to move to see the screen, it's okay. We have not predestined any seating. But would you guys please stand with us as we celebrate the first Noel?
On a cold wind.
Amen. All right, my friends, as we have celebrated the birth of the King, go celebrate. I'm going to send you out with a blessing. But of course, my friends, if there's anything I can pray with you about or pray for you about, if you have any questions, I'll be right up front. I would love to chat with you. But now, in the meantime, go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you, and in all things may he give you peace. Merry Christmas. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, for the Christmas Eve service.